Yeah, okay. Let me find the dark spots. Stay out of this area. Okay. All right. How is everybody today? Is everybody doing well? Yeah. All right, guys, we're starting a new series, and you know, this is the most significant. Well, I don't want to say most significant because everything in the Word is significant, but it's important that we understand the principles and applications to this. And what I'm going to talk about the series the next 4 weeks is called, ready for this? It's called The Test for His Best. The Test for His Best. What does that have to do with anything? Well, you know what? How many realize in life, I have found one thing in life, that you're either in a battle or you're getting ready for one. That's it. I mean, there's, you might think things are going well, but how many realize when things are going well, sometimes you get blindsided and then you're just battling again. It doesn't mean to say that, oh no, there's always another attack. Sometimes as we fortify ourselves with the Word of God, we begin to see that we are fortified to withstand and overcome in every situation. But here's one thing with the Lord. We all are going to go through a test. All of us. And the reason why what was prompting me about this, doing this message, is I was in the Rock Temecula, our sister church, and Pastor Henny, he was doing a series on testing and being tested, and he broke it down in such a way, I'm like, you know, we always say that, right? I mean, come on. You talk to a lot of Christians, how you doing? I'm going through a trial. I mean, I'm just battling. You know, sometimes you talk to some people, and that seems like their whole world is a battle. And but he broke it down, and you start seeing when you break down and going through tests, guys, they're very significant. There's nothing you're going to go through. In fact, Rick Warren says it this way. He says, God's never going to waste a good hurt in your life. He's never going to waste a good hurt because your hurt will speak life into somebody else. But I also found out in life there are the right ways to go through tests and trials, right? There's the right way to go through. But then there's, come on, there's the wrong way. And we know a whole lot of people who go through the wrong way, and it really turns them really ugly. They become ugly people in life. In fact, you know, it was sad, but I've seen people, when I worked in the hospital, many of you know, I dealt with a lot of chronic patients who were dying, and you know, when I would talk to them, and the ones who've never learned to go through tests and trials, can I share something? They died very ugly. They were bitter. They were cussing at the nurses. They're cussing at me. Just ugly. And it's like what they did is they just wore their hurts and tests. And the betrayals and the root of bitterness began to lead them. And so there's a significant way to go through tests because, you know, when you go through tests, you could take the high ground and you can take the low ground, right? And they can, you know, test and trial can, they can break you. But you know what? As a Christian, we should take the test and trial, not to break us, but to bend our knee. Amen. And so, you know, I'm going to share a scripture. Why the test? Why the test? This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And this comes from the Message Bible. The Message Bible. I love it. And we'll start off. I believe it's verse 2. It says, we are sure of ourselves in God, and we went right ahead and said our peace, presenting God's message to you, defiant of the opposition, setting it up. Paul, this is Paul the apostle talking, but listen, verse 3 through 5. He says, God, help me out, God. Is it up there? Okay. I was like, am I expecting something that you don't know? Okay. God, what? He tested us. And what's the next word? He tested us what? Thoroughly to make sure, what? To make sure we were, interesting. He tested to make sure we were qualified to be trusted with this message. Everybody say represent. Gotta represent. Go to the next one. Be assured that when we speak to you, we are not after crowd approval, only what? God approval, since we've been put through that battery of test. You're guaranteed that both we and the message are free of error, mixed motives, or hidden agendas. You know, anybody ever had your health attacked? I mean, just you were put in the hospital, you go through some form of therapy, surgery. And you know what? When I was in the hospital, we used to put them through all kinds of battery of tests. Because it wasn't that we were bad people and we're trying to put the pressure on them. I mean, it's just like, well, that's just really rude of those medical personnel to put some old man on the treadmill and or older lady, put him on a treadmill and just make him work and gasp. And that is so mean. Is that the significance of putting somebody through a battery of tests? My dad has had some heart issues and he had to go through stress test. And what they're doing is monitoring blood pressure. They're monitoring the heart rate. They're actually monitoring the rhythms of his heart and see if he goes into some kind of arrhythmia. And so they're checking to see, is it because we're hard people and we're mean and insensitive? But we have to go through some testings, because you know why? If we don't go through some testings, certain testings undeveloped within us can kill us or hurt other people. God is not learning about you when you go through a test. He didn't see, you know, my wife get mad at me and respond a certain way, and he just like, man, I never saw that coming, man. Dion, that girl needs to work on her mouth. I mean, just, no, just kidding. But you know what he does? He's never surprised. He's never surprised at what we go through. What it does, what a test reveals, not to our maker, what it does is reveal to us who we are, what's in us. How many of you realize that you don't know what you're going through? You don't know there's certain things inside you until you've been through a good test. You didn't know you could talk like that. You didn't know you could blow up like that until a little bit of pressure. You didn't realize you could manipulate. You didn't realize you had that little tinge of greed on the inside of you. You didn't realize you had a little bit of selfishness, and right? Come on now, until you were confronted with something. And God will send us through a battery of test because he wants to qualify us. You know, there's something called the Insurance Institution for a Highway Control or Highway Safety, I believe. But what they do is send cars through all kinds. Oh, man, it just breaks my heart. A new BMW, they just drive it at 70 miles an hour and let it run into a wall. Wrecks the car, but what they want to do is the car has to go through some testing to make sure it keeps the driver safe. Aren't you glad they go through a process of testing? And then they broadside the vehicle to see how it tolerates. And they go through, they cause the car to roll over. Every vehicle is run through this because they want to make sure it's qualified. It's safe. And guys, part of the motive, and I say part because there's other reasons, but part of the testing is to make sure we're qualified and we don't bring a whole lot of collateral damage with our lives. Amen? And according to this text, it says, qualified makes sure that we are tested to be qualified. Qualified means you are to seek God's approval. Remember, he said that in the text that we just read. Free of error, mixed motives, or agendas. God is looking to qualify us and make sure there's not mixed agendas. I know some people, I've become friends with them, but how many know you've gotten to know them a little bit and there was an agenda behind the relationship with you? I have relatives. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, I have relatives. I remember a relative hit my dad up and we hadn't seen him for, 120 years, and he shows up on our porch. Hi, how's it going? It's so good to see you. And after about 15 minutes, he was asking for money. Agendas. And God is making sure we have the right motives in our walk with God. God's checking motives, guys, because you know why? What's the secret thing about motives is you don't really see him up front, but God does. And you can't represent God with an alternative motive. Amen. I know people who've come to church at the Big Rock. I remember they come to the church and they're in real estate or some kind of business, corporate business. And they show up and we're happy to sing. When I was at the Big Rock, you know, our services, we have thousands of new, you know, we in a service we'll have 1,000, but we'll have 200 visitors. And we have a back area where all the pastors go. And I can remember, it never failed. People will come and they came to church because they wanted to give me their business card. And just if the Lord leads you, and you know somebody who needs a bank loan, or you know somebody who needs to sell their house, here's my... They didn't come to hear from God. They came to network. Agendas. And I don't want to make it sound like that's all bad, because I feel like, you know, the body of Christ should be able to network together. But that was the motive. Is, oh, here's this business card. Oh, by the way, here's another business card, and here's my flyers too. Can I leave my flyers on your back desk? You know, agendas. Often, you guys, when we go through something and we're tested, I know it's harsh, but oftentimes we're going through stuff, and I don't want, please don't, I'm not belittling trials. If you're facing the trial of your life, I'm not belittling it, but we have to assess the causes and the pressures coming at it. But oftentimes when people go through something, we want to blame the devil. Oh, it's just the devil. It's just the devil. I lost my job. It doesn't matter that you were 20 minutes late. I lost my job because I'm being persecuted for righteousness' sake. No, you were 20 minutes late for your job. And they've warned you 3 times. Just the devil. Okay? We want to put a lot of times things off on the devil, and it's just bad behavior. Lacking integrity. Amen? So, testing. I'm going to give you a definition, and I wrote this down from Pastor Henny because I loved what he shared. He said he came up with his own definition for testing, and here's what he wrote. He says, testing is an opportunity to reveal our potential. A test is never to destroy you from God. It's to locate you so you can adjust and come up higher. Amen? He says, a test is an opportunity to reveal our potential, to demonstrate our maturity, to reveal our true character and our right attitude. Because life, you know, guys, life can grind you down or it can polish you up. Amen? In fact, Adrian Rogers wrote this. He says, a faith that hasn't been tested can't be trusted. A faith that hasn't been tested cannot be trusted. Now listen to this. I'm going to make a couple statements and then I'm going to give you 4 points. But our promotion is not based on how much we trust God. But oftentimes promotion comes by how much God can trust us. Yeah? Because what that does is it really puts some responsibility on us. Amen? I'm going to read a couple of these. It's cool. God is not about... He's about a process. He wants the process and not just a promotion. He wants to get you there. And oftentimes, as humans, we want to be there, don't we? I just want to be there. I believe. I think I'm ready. I think I'm ready to be married. I'm ready to be a parent. I'm ready for this job. I'm ready for this challenge. But you haven't been tested up to it. You know what? I was just thinking about the faithfulness of God. My wife and I, 14 years ago, I pulled my wife away from our hometown in Albuquerque. And the healthiest thing that ever happened is we moved to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is so cool with its architecture and just the whole personality and character of the city. But we didn't know anybody, and it was a different culture. They talked different. They had different motive, just the way of doing things. And it just like, it was kind of culture shock from where we came from. But it was necessary. And when we were there, we got there in December. Pittsburgh in December is cold. and the sun doesn't shine. And my wife is pregnant. She feels horrible. Her sinuses are all jacked up, and she's nauseous, and she's like, doesn't know anybody, and I'm gone at work for 14 hours, and you know, and she was, why? I wanted to be, you know, you want to be around family while you're pregnant so everybody can take a picture of your tummy every week and bring you baby clothes and get you ready. And God did not see fit, because God called us out because he wanted us tested. And my wife says it was the most significant time in her, of her life, and the reason being because there was no friend's house to go to. There was no mom and dad to go to, brothers and sisters. It was her, and it positioned her in a place to just get a hold of God. And then it positioned us in a place to get a hold of one another. And it just pulled us out. And that was the one thing God wanted to do, establish us for a year. And then within 3 months of being on that job, God told me, I'm going to get a position as a pastor. I'm going to be worship leader. And a week later, I get a call, and the guy wants us to be a worship pastor. So we go to this church, and we're tried, and the anointing fell so hard on this church in such a heavenly way. We had a guy who wasn't even, he's not a real spiritual giant, just a guy. He made a lot of money, owned, like, I don't know how many McDonald's he owned, and Denny's, and owned all these franchises. And he goes to church, and it's a good thing to do. But the anointing was so strong, this guy had an open vision of Jesus. And this guy doesn't believe in open visions, but he had an open vision of Jesus. And Jesus came and sat next to him, talked to him about. And so my point of saying that, the worship was thick and strong when we first got there. But then, look at your neighbor and say, but then. Then the test. And then somebody lied on us. And then somebody thought our motives were something else. And then there was conflict between me and the senior pastor. And the anointing went. And we were just like, it was a terrible, terrible experience. And now we're tested. We're battling. Are we going to get bitter? Are we going to drop out of ministry? Are we going to get in a bad attitude toward the senior pastor? Are we going to hate the sheep of the church? I mean, and the list goes on. It's like, man, after a while, I was like, man, I'd rather go into the emergency room with a bunch of foul-mouthed, cussing doctors, nurses, and techs than hang out in the church like that. We were going through a test. And again, you can allow a test to grind you down or polish you up. And so we were able to pass. And that whole experience, going to Pittsburgh, going to this church that just, it was a, I don't want to say it was an absolute mess, but it was a painful experience. And then because of those, God saw fit to suddenly, look, there's suddenlies that will happen in your life as you follow God. And you pass an opportunity to go to the Big Rock, and God saw us qualified. We didn't really necessarily, but God saw us qualified to get hired by this mega, mega church. But it was because we went through the test. It's necessary that we go through the test, guys. Absolutely imperative that we go through the test. So, when tested, I'm going to give you 4 points, and you're going to see some things, and you're going to welcome these tests, and you're going to be actually transformed and come out of these tests looking more like Christ than you ever thought, guys. Amen? When tested, I'm going to give you 4 points. Number one, the word will test us. A lot of times we think, man, God gave me a promise. How many have you gotten a promise and the Lord told you to hang on, stay in that relationship, stay on that job? He gave you a specific word from the Bible. You read the scriptures. You saw it's like, oh, that is for me. Anybody ever looked at the word and it's like, that is for me? And it was the very word that sustained you. It brought hope. It brought motivation and stability because of that word. And then you got the privilege of seeing that thing unfold. And God was faithful. He proved himself faithful. Well, that's what happened. Joseph, I'm going to tell you about Joseph. Joseph was a man of God. And he had a vision as a young boy. And he saw his bales of hay, he saw bales of hay worshiping him. It was a vision, really, and it was symbolically of his brother bowing down and worshiping him. And the stars were his brothers and to bowing down to the moon. Or I can't remember the exact illustration of what it was. It was bowing down to the, do you remember, Sam? Yeah, the stars were bowing down to the sun, and the symbolism of that dream was that his brothers were going to bow down to him. He had the audacity to say, hey, guys, I love y'all, man. Y'all going to worship me. You're going to bow down to me. And they didn't like it. And so they says, we got to get rid of this guy because his father favored him over the other brothers. And so they sold him into slavery. What's up with that? God called him, got a taste of what he's going to be, saw a vision, got a word from the Lord. And then suddenly he's thrown in a pit and he's a slave. For years, but as a slave, he was elevated because of his integrity, because of his walk, because of his faith. He was elevated from a slave to being in charge of Potiphar's house, and finally he's established, but then Potiphar's wife had the hots for Joseph because it says he was a good-looking boy, and he kept avoiding Potiphar's wife, and it says she wanted him bad. Kind of like the way my wife wanted me before we got married, right? Just like that. But we got married. Yeah, you're all looking at us like that. We know that's a lie. Okay. But anyways, she attacks Joseph. And Joseph flees and she rips off his garment. And instead of, you know, telling the truth, and because of her shame and because of her pride, she says, Joseph, she twisted it. And says Joseph tried to rape her when actually it was just the opposite. So because of that incident, there's Joseph thrown into prison. So he goes from being a slave, elevated, lied upon, betrayed, thrown back into prison. And then in prison, he was elevated again. Everything he put his hand to prospered because he had a word from the Lord. But you know, the whole purpose of saying this is he had to be tested. Was it painful? Absolutely. I mean, nothing worse than a family member screwing you over, right? Somebody you love, somebody you trusted. Listen to what the scripture says about that. Psalm 105, verse 16. Moreover, he, God, called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provisions of bread. Verse 17, he sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons. Until the time that God's word came to pass. And then look at this. Look what it says. The word of the Lord tested Joseph. Sometimes we think we're trying the word. We're testing the word out. And the truth of the matter is, guys, the word can't fail. In fact, the Bible says, you know, the flower will fade and the grass will wither, but the word of the Lord will abide forever. That's why it's important. When you have those words, that word's going to work. The word will work that you have stored in your heart. It will work. But you know what? It says that the word tried Moses. And we sometimes have that mentality thinking, is the word going to work? And I think the word is, because the word is living, and the word is saying, are they going to work? The word works. The word, it says, tried Joseph. So when tested, guys, the word will test us. How many know you just think you got a revelation, you got inspired because you've been to a church and you guys talked on love and relationships, or you talked about marriage and think, my marriage is beautiful, and then you get home and it's World War III happening in your home. You take a parenting class on how to raise kids, and then it all breaks out. And you think you have it down, and then you got to be tested. The word will test you. Amen? It will test you. It'll test you. The word here, walk in spirit, worship God in spirit and truth. And you're tested on whether you're going to tell the truth on your taxes. You're tested on whether you're going to tell the truth to your parents on. You're confronted with, are you going to tell your wife the truth or your husband the truth? Well, what they don't know won't. Yeah, but you know what? You may not think it hurts them, but you know what? God sees it. Amen. And what you do is fail because the word is testing you. Are you going to walk in the word or are you going to walk in the flesh? Amen? Amen. I know. So, you know, it's so important. God wants us to get to a place where we're so tested, but we're refined. And it's interesting, the word and with Charles and Connie about God purifying and molding us, because that's kind of what the test is saying, because God wants to position. Because you can want something really bad. And it's the only way to get to some of these places to be severely tested. We have a friend, and Veronica and Steve, and they know of this individual, was given a very big position. And because of this individual wasn't mature enough, and he was overseeing a bunch of people. And because he didn't know how to pastor and lead, there was an individual that was part of his flock was not treated with the love and respect that he needed, and the nurturing and being pastored. And this individual got so hurt, and because of the immaturity of this individual not being tested, the Bible talks about putting a novice into a position, and that's exactly what happened. And one of my friends, because he left the group, fell really, really hard because of the disrespect and the hurt he felt and the betrayal, because of somebody was put in a position that wasn't tested. That's why we're tested. You're going to be tested in your love. You're going to be tested in your relationships. Amen. Number two, when going through a trial, testing is opportunity that will complete us. Listen to this, guys. We have to get a renewed mind to this. Testing is opportunity. Listen, testing is what? Opportunity. Why? Because you get to see God's faithfulness. It might be uncomfortable. It might be painful. It is serious. It might be health. It may be life and death situation. But it is an opportunity. Always. Always an opportunity. Testing is an opportunity that will complete us. I want you to look at this in the New Living Translation. It's James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 2. Listen to what James says. There's a lot said here, and we will get more into this, but I'm going to emphasize a point or two in this. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it what?" Oh, dang. "Consider it what? Opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is..." What's going to be tested? Your faith. "Your endurance has a chance to grow." Verse 4. "Let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete." Listen to this. "Needing nothing." Did you know none of us has arrived? We got some rough edges. You know, it's a sad thing. "Well, they just better love me the way I am." Yeah, we love you the way you are, but don't stay that way, because then I won't love you. No, I love you, but I may not like you. Did you know you can love somebody, but you don't have to be their best friend? Some of you are happy that I just said that. We have some rough edges, and there's some things in your life. When you go through a test, notice, I love that you would need nothing. So if you're being tested, you're needy. Are you going through something? You're needy. And thank God we need him. I hope that's a great revelation, that we realize that we need God. Amen. Have you ever gone through something that says, "Man, I don't need this. I don't need this." You do need that. That's why you're facing it. You need it. Look at your neighbor and say, "You need it." Let me ask you something. While you're being tested and you're waiting for some things in your life, let me ask you something. What is taking shape in your life? Is it godly character, Christ-likeness, or is it bitterness? weariness, ugliness, unbelief, pride. I mean, come on, who are we to say, I don't need this? Come on, really? We do. We do need it. Because Christ is trying to mold us into his image. Amen. That's why we could see a test. As we said, a test is an opportunity. Amen. And we do. I know. And guys, I got to be careful here. Because there's some life and death situation people are going through. And they have faced death of loved ones and babies. And they're sick and they're faced with cancer. I mean, I'm not trying to say, get over it. I'm not saying that. But we have to see it as opportunity. It's an opportunity to see God's faithfulness. There was a pain in your house, in your life, and it happened. You thought about questioning God, but you needed it. Because God doesn't want us to have need of anything. Amen? We need it. Look at your neighbor and say, we need it. And how about this? What if I fail going through the test? You know what? You will fail. You'll even get embarrassed and humiliated, and you thought you was all that and a bag of chips, and you messed up royal. Anybody ever mess up royally? I mean, it's just the grace of God that he doesn't expose more of us. Amen. I mean, if some of the stuff got out, man, you would think, man, I wouldn't have no friends at church. Right? Get back up. You will fail, but get back up. That's part of it. Did you know when you fail, you may have failed the test, but then there's a test that follows the failing that are you going to get back up? How are you going to arise? Uglier or more beautiful? Amen? Test is an opportunity. Okay, now this one's going to hurt. Look at your neighbor and say, this one's going to hurt. Testing has no value. Listen, testing has no value if you don't learn the lesson. Someone say, dang. Testing has no value if we don't learn the lesson. And you know what? God is faithful. He's just going to test you until we pass. Some of you have been battling the same test for about 15 years. And you'll keep going around that mountain. The wilderness, remember? God says it was a 14-day journey, but because of the complaining and the stiff neck and the stubbornness of Israel, they stayed in the wilderness how long? 40 years. When it was a 14-day journey, but they were stubborn. That's not a compliment, right? Right. I'm just stubborn. Don't own that one. Don't own that one. Because God needs a meek heart. A heart that can be shaped as we saw. Amen? Are you shapeable? Some of us are shapier than others. Are you shapeable? Amen? And we'll stay in the test until we get the lesson. Learn your lesson. What is that? I learned my lesson well. Singing, can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself. You just failed if that's your song. Can't please everybody, so please yourself. Some of y'all too, how many of you are too young to know, have heard that song? Anybody? Some of the youth are over here, what in the world is Pastor Dave singing? That was a song in the late 70s, right? Something like that. Yeah, went to a garden party. Okay, and no one knew your name. Let's stop. Stop, please. Susan knows that song. Testing has no value if the lessons isn't learned, guys. And if we stay stuck in life, we'll stay stuck in life if we don't pass that test. Let me share something. When we don't pass test, and it's our responsibility to see the light and the truth of what God is saying, when we don't pass test, we stay stuck. You know what happens when we don't pass? We begin to blame everybody. We rid ourselves of any kind of responsibility. It's their fault. It's my family's fault. It's my past's fault. It's my pastor's fault. It's my church's fault. They're just not giving me opportunity. And it goes on and on and on. When you get stuck, you know what the key ticket is pass the test. We should go higher and elevate in our lives. Amen? Look at somebody, say, pass the test. Let me just ask you a couple questions. Are you tired of being bothered with the same test? Then pass. Don't be tripped up by the same stuff. Do you run when there's trouble? Do you ignore when there's trouble? Do you complain when there's trouble? Do you fear when there's? Do you blame shift when there's? And it's important that we pass the test. Allow God to show you what your role in the mess is. Amen. You can't control everybody else's part, but you can control your part. Amen. Amen. Man, that'll set you free, that saying right there. Because you can walk frustrated in life because everybody rubs you the wrong way. It's my boss. It's my fellow employees. It's the other drivers. It's the politicians. It's the government. Right? Come on. But we have to do whose part? Our part. Amen? Okay, number three. When we're going through a test, this is really important, guys. Predetermine your profession. Predetermine your profession. What does that mean? If you have to prepare to go through your test, you're going to be a little bit late. If you have to prepare. Oh, I didn't see that one coming. Listen to what Job said. Listen to what he said. He lost a lot. Job was afflicted, lost his family, lost his wealth, was afflicted in his body. But listen to what he said. Job 23, this is like needs to go in your archives of famous scriptures. Listen to this. Job 23, verse 10, it says, but he knows where I am going, and when he tests me, I will come out as what? And when he tests me, I will come out as what? So predetermine your profession. When I go through, I'm going to come out as gold. There's a lot of tears right now. There's a lot of anger right now. And I'm frustrated. And I've been waiting. But I'm going to come forth as gold. Not where the wind blows me. Not what my family tells me. Not how it's always been. I'm going to come forth as gold. Amen? And just the rest of this verse is great. Verse 11, for I have stayed on God's path. I have followed his ways and not turned aside. Notice, when he's going through trouble, he stayed on whose path? God's. I have followed his ways and I have not turned aside. We can go, I haven't turned aside. You can go to everybody's, when you're going through stuff, man, you can go to everybody and get their opinion about what your life. Right? You'll start telling people who don't even know you about your problems. So I'm going through the trek outline. How's your day? Well, I'm just. Right? Because you're turning aside. I just need somebody to stick up for me. No. Adhere to God's path. You just walk in his ways because you'll receive all kinds of counsel. How many realize you've shared something about your life and about your spouse or something, and you talk to somebody and says, I'd shoot him. I'd just outright shoot him. You know, take him to a dark alley, say you're looking for a cat and shoot him. Yeah, right? You take the wrong counsel. But right here it says, don't turn aside from his counsel. Stay on the path. Amen. And in verse 12, it says, I have not departed from his commands. But notice, here we go, with his word. But I have treasured his words. When you're going through something, you know what this says? It tells me that Job, the forefront of his walk was God's word. Isn't that something? I'm going to stay on the path. I'm not turning aside. His counsel is going to be what's feeding my ears and my heart. Amen? And notice, he says, I treasured them. He's going through stuff, guys. And what did he say about the word? I treasure it. You going through something today, guys? Treasure the word. Amen. And just, okay, you have to predetermine your profession. I love this in Psalm 66, and I know this verse by personal experience. Psalm 66, 10 and 12. Notice, it says, you have tested us, O God. You have purified us like silver. Notice, God tested. Verse 12, then you put a leader over us. We went through the fire and the flood. But, here's the predetermined. But you brought us to a place of great abundance. You know, every time you go through something, guys, there's always an out. And it's always to bring you out on a higher place of knowing God and understanding his faithfulness. Amen. And lastly, when going through a test, when tested, rejoice. Ooh! When tested, what? Oh, dang, not complain. What's the first thing that goes through your mouth when something comes up? You didn't get your way. Right? I'm telling you, this is really important. When you go through something, you see it as what? Remember, we see a test as a opportunity. And then the Bible tells us to rejoice. Rejoice. Doesn't mean you really like it, but just rejoice. Because there's a deeper work involved in the process. It's part of the process. Amen. Peter says rejoice. James says rejoice. And Paul said rejoice. Okay, I'll read it up here. Moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Let us exult and triumph in our trouble. Okay, no wonder why. Exalt, isn't that powerful? Do we do that? That's pretty amplified, right? It's the amplified version, that's why. It says, let us exalt and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our knowing that that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patient and unswerving endurance. Dang. So when tested, we have to rejoice, guys. When tested, you need to know I'm in the New Living Translation. God has proven us. And thank God. You know what? When we're tested and chastised, we'll get into chastisement in the future of this series. But my emphasis today is to welcome trial because God is at work. If you adhere, what Job said there in Job 23, I'm not going to turn aside. I'm going to stay on the path. I'm going to listen to his counsel and I'm going to treasure his word. And when you're going, I'm telling you, you do this, you'll go through any trial with victory. Amen. I promise you. It may not be in a week and it may not be in 2 weeks. It may not be in a year. It may not be in 2 years. There's some things that I've gone through and it lasted years. But there's other things that just lasted shortly. And can I share something with you? When you go through things God's way, it's so much better. It's so much better. Any spouses argue with each other? No? Okay. I think it's just Granddad and Sharon. I think everybody else is good in here. Granddad. No, he's Granddad. That was good. Sam and Sharon, I'm sorry. I don't know where that came from. I'm being tested. But you know what? There's something. Our pride is at stake. But you know what? Dion and I, when we go through a fight, we're like, it could get really ugly. But over the years, we've learned to forgive right away. and it's better. Or you can carry a spirit and you begin to fellowship with demonic spirits when there's strife and envy and hatred and bitterness. You can let that thing camp out in your home for about 3 or 4 days. It affect your kids. But you know what? We've learned to say sorry right away because we're adhering to the path of the Lord. And when just doing it God's way works, guys. It works so much better. Amen. And I'm going to just close with this scripture right here. Because God needs proving. He wants to qualify us. But listen to this. Proverbs 25:19. And it kind of sums up with what we read in the very first opening scripture. It says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth and a foot out of joint. Confidence in an unfaithful man in the time of trouble. Anybody ever had a bad tooth? Or a foot out of joint? Sprained ankle, broken, whatever. But you can't. God wants to prove us. He needs faithfulness in the times of trouble. Amen. Testing is a blessing. It is. Don't allow the devil, and he'll try to convolute your test and make you blame God. Job's wife tried to do that. Came to Job and says, curse God and die. He said, you talk like a foolish woman. I know some of you men been, really, that's scriptural? I can actually say that to my wife? I'm sweating up here. Testing is a blessing. Let God have his perfect work. Amen? The scripture says, and it's just coming to mind right now, it's Philippians chapter 2, but it says, it's the Lord who's at work at you to will and for his good pleasure. If you're adhering to his path, he will work his perfect work in you. Don't question it for a second. But stay on his path, and that keeps you in a place of him molding. Amen. Did you get something from the Lord on that, guys?